Hey, Joel Malkin here for WJNO.com, and let's talk about some movies. I'm feeling kind of spooky. I will bring up a Halloween time movie here in a bit, but first, Hap Burstein does his thing from... what's that?
And I will ignore it. Okay.
PalmBeachArtsPaper.com. And Hap, I saw, and I'm just going to tease you with this, I saw a movie last weekend that I wasn't planning on seeing, and boy, am I glad I did. And that's all I'm going to say for now. So tell us what you got.
I couldn't even guess what you're talking about. This week's big movie, though surely not big enough to overtake James Bond at the box office, is called The Last Duel. It's a fast-paced historical drama set in late 14th century France. It's another Ridley Scott epic, grand in scale and giant in running time. It's over 2.5 hours. And it's long because the story is told three times from three different points of view, very much like the style of Kurosawa's 1950 classic Rashomon. Now, we hear the tale from Norman Knight Jean de Caro, that's Matt Damon, from his compatriot Jacques Legris, an untrustworthy Adam Driver, and from Jean's wife Marguerite, that's played by Jodie Comer, who claims that Jacques has raped her. Now, it is that alleged rape that leads to the duel, a joust to the death that becomes the last sanctioned judicial duel fought in France in 1386. Were you around then? We get a taste of the duel at the beginning of the film and an extended, extremely violent version near the end. The screenplay by Damon and Ben Affleck, you remember those guys? They won an Oscar from a long time ago. And also Nicole Holofcener. Ben Affleck's actually in it as well, not very convincingly as someone from the 14th century. But the whole story is how little value women had in medieval times, and it draws parallels to contemporary days. Now, I'm not sure the triple narrative really works. There's not enough difference between the stories, frankly. But never doubt that Ridley Scott can direct action sequences, especially in ancient times. Last Duel is only available in theaters. It opens this weekend.
You know what? I thought that it was... I've seen this preview, and I'm just not interested, but I thought it was Joan of Arc for a minute. Like, I was like, is this the Joan of Arc story? Because there are like, claims made and this and that, and it's just, wait, what am I watching
right,
here?
Right. Well, but there's no fire. You need fire for Joan of Arc.
I'm like, what the heck is this about? And I just have no interest.
Well, that's what a trailer is supposed to do. It's supposed to draw you in.
Yeah, it drew me the other way. No, okay. I went in the opposite direction.
I hear you.
No interest. So why don't you tell me about another movie I'll probably have no interest in?
Well, time travel. It's a popular subject of science fiction. And when you add in romance in a movie like Needle in a Time Stack, it just becomes irresistible. Leslie Odom Jr. and Cynthia Erivo are Nick and Janine, a blissfully happy couple. But Janine has a wealthy former husband, Tommy, played by Orlando Bloom, who has a taste for and the means to travel in time in an effort to win back Janine. If he goes back far enough when they were happy, maybe he can have her stick with it. Director John Ridley, he's the guy that made 12 Years a Slave 8 years ago, also wrote the screenplay, and he's clearly more interested in the human story than the time travel device. Still, that's what gets the story in motion. Ridley wants to hook us into the romantic triangle, the relationships, and the complications of the situation. And he does a pretty good job of it. Odom and Erivo were previously known as musical performers on stage. He was in Hamilton, she was in The Color Purple. But Needle and Hay in a Time Stack gives further proof that they have absolutely got dramatic chops. It's available now on Amazon Prime and will soon be in area theaters as well. No comment?
I can't wait.
Not my White House pick.
I was going to say, I can't wait to talk about the movies that I'm actually...
That people care about.
That I care about. It's all about me.
All right.
Haven't you figured that out yet?
I guess so. All right. Well, then I got one more of this movie, and then we'll swift it over to you. My art house pick this week is an out and out romantic comedy called Falling for Figaro, and as the title suggests, it takes place in the world of opera. So don't expect it to add any realism at any point. It revolves around Millie Cantwell, played by the completely charming Danielle McDonald, a wealthy investment fund manager. Unsatisfied in her career, she turns down a promotion. In fact, she puts her entire profession on hold to pursue the world of opera. Now, Millie sets aside enough money to study for a year in the Scottish Highlands with a wildly unpleasant former diva played deliciously by Joanne Lumley. Then Millie meets and takes an instant dislike to Max, played by Hugh Skinner. He's it's a kind of animosity that you know is going to turn to romance. I mean, again, no surprises here. But first, he is her rival in the Singer of Renown contest, sort of contest that leads to careers in classical opera. Virtually everything in Falling for Figaro is predictable, but the music is absolutely transcendent. So you needn't take the story too seriously, but still, you can enjoy it for what it is. It's playing at the Living Room Theaters in Boca Raton. Falling for Figaro. Hmm. What's the last time you saw a good opera movie?
Yeah, about the last time I saw a good opera.
Would that be never?
Yes. Yeah, good guess.
Okay.
Can't figure that. All right.
We need to widen your horizons. Yes, go ahead.
My dad would always say, I have no culture. Proud of it. Okay, so Halloween Kills. No review of that.
I understand it does.
Well, yeah. Flatter tomato, according to Rotten Tomatoes, 45%. So, I don't know. Have they jumped the Michael Myers yet, as opposed to the shark?
I'm sure that's what they're hoping to remind people of and get them in the theaters.
Well, you know, they do have Jamie Lee Curtis back in this series. If she was in the last one, she was in this one. Yeah,
wow.
You got her back in there. In fact, Anthony Michael Hall, remember him? He makes an appearance in this one, apparently. Anthony Michael Hall.
I bet it's a cameo. Yeah.
I don't know. Danny McBride is a screenwriter for this movie, so maybe I should skip it.
It's got all the evidence.
Jason, is it Blum or Bloom? Blumhouse, whatever it is. B-L-U-M.
Blumhouse, yeah.
Anyway, he's a producer.
Let's call the whole thing off.
He's a producer on it. And David Gordon Green is a director. Why do I know that name?
You know, he started out making art house pictures.
Okay.
And then,
did you know that?
Oh, absolutely. And then got more commercial.
Yeah.
Have you got his credits there?
I can pull them up. Let me read you the synopsis according to Fandango.com, and I'll do it in my best synopsis guy voice. Ready? Here we go. Minutes after Laurie Strode, that's Curtis, her daughter Karen, Judy Greer, and granddaughter Allison, who cares because we don't know who she is, left masked monster Michael Myers caged and burning in Laurie's basement. Laurie is rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, believing she finally killed her lifelong tormentor. But when Michael manages to free himself from Laurie's trap, of course, his ritual bloodbath resumes. As Laurie fights her pain and prepares to defend herself against him, she inspires all of Haddonfield to rise up against their unstoppable monster. The Strode women join a group of other survivors of Michael's first rampage who decide to take matters into their own hands, forming a vigilante mob that sets out to hunt Michael down once and for all.
That doesn't get
me any more excited about it, but I have to watch it. It's one of those, I can't skip
it. It's got your name written all over it, absolutely.
I can't skip a Halloween movie, and I'm trying to open up, that's not what I wanted. I'm opening up the wrong app. Here we go.
You're going to do the
Halloween. Hang on. I'm going to look up this, the director here, David Gordon Green. Let's see here. Gosh, I'm not recognizing anything. Oh, look at this. He did a movie called City of Joel. I like that. City of Joel, J-O-E-L. He was...
Didn't he do the one with
that was executive
Tom Cruise?
Hang on, that's executive producer.
Where Tom Cruise was real large.
Tom Cruise is real large. Only in Tom Cruise's dream. Is he real...
I mean, fat.
Is he real large? No, he didn't. Ben Stiller, I think, ended up directing that.
Really?
Yeah, you're talking...
That's the one I'm talking about. Okay.
You know, he
so go back to the beginning of his career.
Let's see. He did direct the TV series Eastbound and Down, which I think is Danny McBride, which I never saw. So that explains why they're teaming up here. I don't recognize any of these. Why does his name sound familiar? I must have heard you mention it in conjunction with one of these...
Again, he made some very good arty films early on.
Oh, Pineapple
but then
he Express
went commercial.
Again, he's Danny McBride's
Pineapple
buddy.
Express.
Pineapple Express. No, that was the pothead movie with Danny McBride and not Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, James Franco, Danny McBride,
okay.
Gary Cole.
Right.
It was a horrible. Yeah, that's his big claim to fame. Seeing any. Pleasant Grove was a short. Physical Pinball was a short. George Washington in 2000.
That actually, George Washington got a lot of acclaim.
Well, there you go.
It takes place in the South.
Then he decided he wanted to make money.
Right. So, he wanted to stay in the industry.
And by the way, speaking of money, Halloween Kills, according to an article I am reading while you were doing your Art House pick review, Yahoo Entertainment is predicting or projecting, or maybe they're going by somebody else's projections, that Halloween Kills will beat Bond at the box office this weekend.
Wow.
It says that Halloween Kills is expected to take number one. Keep in mind, it's not streaming. I know neither is the Bond movie. Number one with a $35 to $40 million opening weekend, while No Time to Die is projected with a $24 to $27 million second weekend, which it says would be a drop of 52% to 58% in the second week for Bond. I guess Bond did okay. It was 50-something million, but it didn't do as well as they had hoped. And part of that, according to this article that I was able to read while I was ignoring your Art House pick thing. come on, I'm looking for a laugh.
Does it say anything about The Last Duel and what it's likely to do?
I didn't even see it in the conversation.
Okay.
But I have to scroll down. I didn't read the entire article, but
Ridley Scott and Matt Damon and Affleck.
It looks like a snooze fest. It really does. It looks like a snooze fest. But you know what was not a snooze fest? No Time to Die. Hap, I took a chance on it. I'm not a big... I'll see some of the Bond movies, but I'm not... You know, most of the people I think that go see these Bond movies are just got to see them all. Kind of like I am with the Halloween movies.
Absolutely.
But even more serious about it. And so I'll see them.
But
go ahead.
If you haven't seen Bond for a while, you're not seeing, you know, what it's really drawing from.
I'm not, but let me tell you, I think I might have seen the last one. I couldn't remember. I went and I saw this movie, and let me tell you, it was possibly the best, overall, the best film I've seen in a while, in probably months. Just from the sheer, from the action, from the story, from the depth.
Well, it's got it, yeah.
And comes with some real shockers, and I'm not doing any kind of, you know, people are holding off on seeing it for one reason or another.
Okay.
But let me just tell you that my jaw was wide open at the end of that movie going, seriously? Did I really just see what I think happened? And I mean,
and a lot of people are not pleased with the ending, yes.
I wouldn't
spoil it either.
I wouldn't imagine they would, because where do they go from here? Again, no spoilers. Hopefully I didn't go too far. Bottom line is, you know what? They should see it opening weekend, okay? No.
Then
it was a really
all
good.
Bets are off?
It was a really good,
movie.
So
had you seen, you hadn't seen Skyfall or Casino Royale?
I know I didn't see Skyfall. I think I went and I saw Casino Royale because it was, there was a big hubbub with this new, guy, Daniel Craig. Yeah, so I know,
right,
I'm pretty sure I did see that. I know I skipped Skyfall. I think I might have seen the last one, and the name is escaping me now, the one before this. But it wasn't Skyfall. I want to say they did one.
No, it wasn't Skyfall.
This one.
And it wasn't Quantum of Solace.
It might have been
something else.
Well, whatever it was. I want to say maybe it was Quantum of Solace that I did see. I remember seeing the last one that I had seen, and it was just like, well, this is a lot of great stunts, and that was it. I was like, well, this is entertaining. But this one had a lot of depth to it, more than I can remember a Bond movie having.
This had punch. It had emotional punch, yes.
And, it was a good, very,
did
very
you ever
well
see
done.
The original Dune?
I didn't, and I don't even know what the heck is going on with this Dune stuff. It's sci-fi, right?
It's very much sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it's also 2.5 hours, and I just recently saw it, and I didn't read the book. I need someone to help explain it to me, but there's a lot good going on in it. We'll talk about it next week.
All right, and we'll also see if these predictions on here in this article are correct, see if Halloween kills at the box office or doesn't, and Bond...
I can't imagine it's going to overtake Bond, but...
I mean, who are these people projecting it? Again, I'm not the one. This is what they're saying. I think that it didn't do as well as they had hoped it would do the first week, but it did okay. It was 56 million.
It certainly was number one, yeah.
It was number one, but there wasn't really anything else, you know. The last duel.
And now it's got some competition.
Last duel.
But Halloween Kills?
Where is it? It's mentioning the last duel in this article, but it's not.
It's not making any claims for it?
I'm not seeing where it says the last duel would fall, and I probably got to filter through this whole thing. It looks like Dear Evan Hansen is gone for the most part. I'm sure there will be a theater or two that'll still have it. And I wanted to go see that, but it was down to like one or two showtimes, and I couldn't. So I said, well, let's go see this Bond thing and see what this is all about. And I'm so happy.
This Bond thing. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. We will chat next week. And, if anybody listening hasn't seen the Bond movie, even if you're not a huge Bond fan, I suggest you go see it. You won't understand everything going on, but I think you'll get enough to enjoy the movie because I sure did. So, all right, we'll chat next week.
Sounds good. All right, next week, Dune.